Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Zamudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we usually get into the hard economics, of the week. But for this week, we decided to venture in a slightly different direction. We're not talking about interest rates. We're not talking about inflation or anything like that. But we're talking about something that is very important, and that is transport. We all use transport on a daily basis, but more and more around the world, people are shifting their modes of transport, particularly how transport is actually being powered. Gone are the days of gas-guzzling engines, and we see more and more people around the world and governments moving towards electrification. But where does South Africa actually stand when it comes to, this particular issue? And at the same time, is it viable, for South Africa? And for today, we are joined by Shadab Rahil, who is the CEO of Payment 24. They are an international technology development company that specializes in payment solutions for transport and fleet industries. Rahil, how are you today?
Thank you, Mudibe. I'm well. Thank you very much.
Now, thank you so much for being with us, for today. I think before we get into some of the nitty-gritties, as Payment 24, I remember the first time that I, heard the name Payment 24, I thought maybe we're talking mobile wallets, we're talking e-commerce, but it looks like it's more on payment solutions for fleet, for vehicles and fleets. Perhaps if you could give us a little bit of insight into the company itself and the type of work that you guys are doing.
Thanks. Madibe, Payment 24 is a payments platform provider focusing on fuel payments specifically. That's how we started. That was our niche. Our typical adopter of our technologies either are fuel retailers or banks who want to offer a new generation of payment mechanism for their customers. So we provide a completely white label platform which allows our customers to design their products on our platform, take new products to the market via our platform. So we basically are enablers of new payments payment products out there for oil companies, fuel retailers, loyalty providers, etc. That's really our primary focus. We operate in currently 7 countries. And looking to expand that further.
Okay. Now, that certainly helps us on that end. So when we talk about electric vehicles in South Africa, we've seen a big boom in other parts of the world. I remember when I was in China a few years ago, it was very interesting to see that almost all the cabs that we were using at the time were electric. Very few of them, were still running on, normal fossil burning fuels. So from that point of view, as South Africa, how come we haven't, gone there? Of course, it's a completely different context. We're in Africa, the environment is different, policy, all of that. Why aren't we all driving Teslas at the moment?
That's a good question, Madibe. So I think we missed the boat about 5 years ago from South Africa perspective, because we were dealing with other challenges, with Eskom and government and all the other issues that we are facing, So we did miss the boat. We could have been far ahead, but unfortunately, due to internal reasons, we lost the plot of it. But saying that, in the last 12 months, we have seen that government has taken some measures that will help us in moving in the right direction. Like now, private entities can generate up to 100 megawatt of electricity and so on. I think the next step would be that providing subsidy and removing heavy taxes on electric vehicles, because that's what China, Europe, North America, these successful markets have done. But they did it almost 10 years ago, right? Usually we are always behind, but not by 10 years, perhaps by 5 years. So we did miss the boat, but at the same time, last year, this time, we were thinking that the peak, the threshold that will start hitting with EV vehicles and it will start becoming mainstream in South Africa would be about 2030. But we believe now that that's not the case potentially. That timeline is moving forward, moving faster than we thought it's moving because of OEMs, manufacturers bringing EV vehicles here. Still too expensive. Cheapest one, Mini Cooper, 620,000 rands. Not everybody can afford it. But it's moving in the right direction. The price is coming down. Cheaper vehicles are coming down.
I'm certainly with you when it comes to vehicles coming down. I can remember the days when Tesla first brought out the Model S and we all knew it as a $100,000 car. I think that translates to 1.5 million. And that was sort of one of the first mass produced vehicles. But now you see the likes of Hyundai now also coming out with their electric vehicles. I think Kia also has one. Ford, some of the mass produced vehicles sort of more in the mass market, helping to drive down all of those prices. But when it comes to that, you then, I know that as Payments 24, I was reading something that you guys wrote recently, and you guys are actually predicting that there will be a boom to South Africa, to say that even though we are behind, there will be a boom that will come, there will be that adoption, it will come. What are the factors, do you think, that are actually going to push people to actually start getting to electric? Because I can think of, apart from the cost, I'm thinking about, what do they call it? I think they call it range anxiety, where people, really wonder how far they can go before they, have to charge and all of that stuff. And it feels like there's a lot that would need to be overcome in South Africa before all of that happens.
No, 100%. It is called range anxiety. You got it 100% right. And that's one of the big factors out there. But at the same time, if you think about it, the number of vehicles in South Africa are so few, and it's like a chicken and an egg situation always. Do you have the network? Only once you have the network, then you can get the vehicles. But again, you cannot deploy the charge point network, which is like quite expensive to deploy, without having the customer base. So it's gonna trickle through initially, but the curve will take a hockey stick angle in the next few years, where it just shoots up. And I think the trigger point would be a few things. The cheaper vehicles definitely will play a role. So people like you and me can actually, or not average people can go buy a vehicle, which is EV. BMW, for example, is bringing out that all the 3 Series will have a plug-in option in there, in the next generation vehicles. JAC brought a truck, the first truck in South African market, which is EV. And EV is not—it's not all about EV. Hydrogen, we cannot discount hydrogen vehicles, CNG, LNG, other power sources—they are coming. And the reason behind that is fuel prices is going up and up and up, and the margins for fuel retailers is also not there. So there is a business aspect to it, but then there is compliance and government aspect there as well, which will drive this way. Government will need to give some incentives. I believe they might. Like other governments, but also if not incentives, at least remove the heavy taxation on EV vehicles, which is also why I guess you and I are not driving a Tesla here. So there are these factors that will definitely drive the adoption. And also with newer batteries, the range anxiety will start disappearing. Because if you think of a Porsche Taycan, which you obviously an average person can't afford to buy, 3 million plus car. But the technology in that car is as such that the range and the charging time is very good. All these vehicles are differentiated between each other by what is the size of the battery. And then by size, I mean how quickly these vehicles can be charged. That's why Tesla is one of the best EV vehicles out there. But Porsche is pretty good because if you think about it, these charging points, they come in different kilowatt hours. So if I put it in layman's term, think of a pipe, water pipe, and the thickness of that water pipe. the thicker the water pipe, the more water you can disperse quickly. So Porsche Taycan has kilowatt hours, I think about 300 kilowatts or something, where it can be charged a lot quicker than a BMW i3 because its capacity is a lot lower. So as the technology evolves, these capacities will keep on increasing and our charging time will keep decreasing at the same time.
When it comes to actually some of the drivers, because I think a lot of the technology, as you said, is getting is getting better, and the more that the electric, the more that the traditional vehicle makers get into it, I think it makes the sell a bit easier and better, because these are companies that have specialized in mass producing vehicles at low cost, for decades now. And at the same time, I think the brand power that they carry also does a lot to actually change that shift in people's minds. You were talking about the Porsche Taycan earlier on, and I think that vehicle has done a lot to shift people, because I think Teslas, people really like Teslas, they think they're cool, but there's been a lot of complaints about build quality issues and all of these things. But when Porsche now comes into the game, I guess the whole VW group comes into the game, whether you're talking the e-tron GT from Audi, the Porsche Taycan, whatever the model is, it does a lot to engender that spirit of confidence. But I wanted to maybe get your sense, because you guys deal with people and clients on a fleet level, what would it take to change the conversation with fleet owners, right? Because I would assume that getting fleet owners to switch over to electric vehicles would go a long way to actually bringing up that adoption, because at least before the pandemic, the little that I know is that fleet owners, whether in car rentals, etc., they make up a big chunk of new vehicle sales and things like that. So, maybe you could talk to us about your thoughts on that front.
So in the industry, Madiba, there are two type of fleet owners, really. You get the fleet owners who have fleets with large trucks, and then fleet owners like, Europcar and Avis, who really are in leasing business passenger vehicles. And the EV technology is very different for both in a way. And application would be different as well. Large truck owners and transporters, they might be one of the first to adopt EV, but hydrogen might make more sense for them, because of the range and also how quickly it can be filled up, just like normal fuel. So we cannot discount that. I think businesses, B2B, large corporations will be the first movers, and that will drive the B2C adoption as well in that space. When it comes to, a normal passenger vehicle operators, the road might be a little bit more different for them, because cost of ownership is cheaper on an ongoing basis, but cost of acquisition is quite higher. So there is definitely a business case for them to start converting, but perhaps not right now. It is coming for them as well. It will start becoming viable from a South Africa context perspective. It is starting to become viable, because if you think about it, oil companies, fuel retailers have not really figured out what is the business case for them to start deploying charging points. They're still figuring it out here. In some countries, you cannot even charge for electricity. Actually, you have to charge for the service. So there's a issue around how the on-road fueling, EV fueling, would work and how it will be monetized. So there is some challenges there. But from a B2B business perspective, fleet operator perspective, they can easily deploy charge points at their home bases, at their offices. That's where actually this charge point will start appearing first, most likely, for businesses to charge their vehicles while they wait to load the vehicles, or they're in parking, office spaces. That's where we will start seeing some traction.
No, okay, cool. No, I see you there, especially at that point about corporates being the ones that actually drive, that adoption. I remember as Arena, because Arena is the one that actually owns the business day. And downstairs in our office, in our building, we actually have a couple of electric charging points that have been there for a couple of years now. And I always wondered when they first came in, how long it's gonna be before everyone is using these things, because for now, they sort of are sort of used every once in a while. You might see a car being charged, but it would be interesting one day to know that, as you're sitting in your office, your car is quote unquote filling up.
No, 100%. And that's the problem. I mean, we have all these chargers around us. There's almost like one charger for every four vehicles in South Africa. It's not sustainable. And that equation needs to change. And because all these OEMs are bringing vehicles, I mean, if the normal public perception is that there are only a handful of EV vehicles, like what comes to a normal person's mind is Nissan Leaf or BMW i3, that's it. But actually, almost every manufacturer has an EV vehicle in South Africa, or they are bringing one in the next few months. Mercedes has one. Audi's got BMW. We already know has Hyundai is bringing. So all JAC, the truck operators are bringing. But what I think is, what will also tip the scales would be the Chinese manufacturers. They are probably underestimated in this space. Half of the vehicles sold, EV vehicles sold in the world was in China. So, I mean, their technology is probably not too bad comparatively. And like the likes of Haval and Co, they are manufacturing some quality vehicles. The perception in South African public is changing about some of the Chinese brands. Just like Korean brands were not really, people were not keen on last 15 years ago, maybe. And now Hyundai and Kia, they are like, premium products almost. Similarly, a couple of Chinese brands are going to pitch up, and they might pitch up to steal the show when it comes to EV vehicles, just because of the economy of scale they have and the pricing they might bring to the table.
Yeah, especially the pricing is in an economy like ours would go a long way to, push that up. And you're right. I think a couple of years ago when I thought about, Haval, really didn't think much of it. But now you see one on the road and you actually take a second look and you nod your head and you're like, okay. I could see this happening. But one of the things that you've mentioned a couple of times throughout this discussion is this issue of incentives and government coming to the table. How far are we down the line to actually put in what do you call this? To actually put in the type of incentives that you think would actually move the needle, whether it's going to be for corporates or whether it's going to be for consumers looking to get into the market. And also, what have you seen that works around the world? Because I know that in some cases it's a tax incentive. For some people it's discounted pricing. For others it's fuel, it's charging credits. Where do you sort of see things working? Because what's worked in other parts of the world might not necessarily be the best for South Africa.
Oh, 100%. So, I mean, as currently, I'm not aware that government is actually actively doing anything about it. But after the 100 megawatt announcement, they have been some rumblings around that they are potentially looking at it. I don't believe there's a timeline to it that publicly they have disclosed. So that is a challenge. I think that needs to be addressed. Talking about the incentives itself. I mean, the biggest one of the biggest problem in moving to EVs is always the price, and the tax incentive to help bring that price down is a major driver. On the other hand, the secondary thing could be yes, free charging, for vehicles and stuff. But it's a little bit more difficult from a South Africa context that I see that happening. I don't think that might be potentially a reality or realistic option, but corporates and fleets are able to generate their own electricity using, you know, green energy, solar, wind, etc., and use that energy to power their vehicles, that will be something that will help. But at the same time, saying that, the carbon footprint would be something that will also drive this and will put pressure on our government to do something about this. The least they can do in the short term, I see, is at least make the heavy taxation on EV vehicles, especially, a bit lesser, because more and more manufacturers are now bringing the vehicles. That means they will be putting pressure on the government to relax the taxation regime on EV vehicles.
And just before, you know, we do close off, because there's a lot of things that that are at play when it comes to the EVs, as you said. We're talking about all the things that are going to help to drive adoption. But let's imagine for a moment that we have, we're now maybe 5-10 years down the line and EVs are the future. You guys are a payment specialist when it comes to fleets, etc. What type of platforms are you guys developing, or is the industry developing to actually help fleet owners with how they manage this? Because I know that, for example, as Payment 24, you guys deal, you know, with you know, things around you know, fleet fuel management solutions, loyalty and rewards, that type of thing. Do you sort of see the same paradigm also coming over to EVs? How are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah, we do believe that, because that is just another fuel type, right? And we provide fleet management, fuel management platform. So electricity, hydrogen, CNG, LNG, these are all fuel types. They still have to be paid. They still have to be managed and secured. So we, as Payment 24, are looking at aggregating various type of charge points, because that's one of the other challenges. There are so many different type of charge points that are out there. If you just look at from South Africa context perspective, BMW have their own, you know, card and payment mechanism. Jaguar have their own card and payment mechanism, and so on. So all of this needs to be aggregated, and that's where we are going to play a role. Because for us, South Africa is something from an EV perspective that we are going to bring to the market. EV acceptance along with ICE vehicle acceptance on the single platform, that is something unique. That will be something unique to Payment 24. But at the same time, for us as a strategic initiative, is very important because of our expansions into the UK market and the US market, where without having EV acceptance on the platform, we might be irrelevant. So they are quite strong drivers for us, which is making, hopefully will make us one of the leaders in providing us fleet management platform, which can cater for ICE vehicles and EV vehicles, and hopefully hydrogen, CNG, LNG vehicles as well in the future.
All right. Now, as we come to the close of this discussion, it sounds like you guys have exposure to a number of different markets, or at least insights into a number of different markets, whether developed or emerging. Just given the nature of South Africa's economy, there's usually some comparison to the likes of the UK sometimes, and even Australia. But when it comes to the adoption, whether it's going to be from fleet owners, whether it's going to be from consumers, and the trajectory that the local EV market is taking, are there particular countries that you look at to say, you know, okay, fine, this was a good roadmap that they probably used, you know, something that South Africa could either follow, or a road that you see South Africa's probably going down the path that XYZ country took?
Right now, I don't think we're going down any path. Unfortunately, but usually in technology front and you know that comes through, we usually follow the path of European countries, UK especially. So hopefully we follow their example at this stage. I'm not saying they are the best example, but they are the closest one, I guess, and that's what we do follow in most cases. So if we go down that route, maybe by 2025, we will be in a good space from and leading Africa continent into the EV age.
So that was us. We're talking to Shadab Rahil, who is CEO at Payment 24, giving us some insight into the state of the current EV market at the moment. They are specialists when it comes to managing vehicle fleets, you know, that type of thing. They have platforms, and they're actually now talking about how South Africa has been a bit slow to adopt electric vehicles, but over time they do anticipate that the boom is coming, and they're saying that there's a business case for it, you know, in South Africa. And whilst people are figuring themselves out, because at the moment there doesn't seem to be a cohesive sort of direction that things are going in, we have Mr. Rahil giving us insight, you know, that they're already developing their own platforms in preparation for that, because at the end of the day, electricity is just another type of fuel, you know, albeit a different type of fuel, but they're already preparing, you know, themselves from, you know, from that point of view. It will be interesting to see how this space develops, and hopefully in the next year or two, we can actually concretely have another discussion with Shadab, where we can actually say, okay, fine, there's an actual direction that we do find ourselves going down. So until then, we will be keeping an eye on this, and it's definitely a discussion that needs to be had. One of the things that that Shadab mentioned was the fact that the price of fuel does keep going up and up, and that is likely something that is hurting consumer pockets. I remember at the height of lockdowns last year, fuel was coming in at 12 Rand 50, and I think I was able to fill up my car for 450 Rand, but now that's, you know, closer to 700 Rand, because fuel is touching that 18 Rand mark. So, you know, all of those different factors are feeding into this, and hopefully government does come to the table. But until then, Shadab, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity, Madiba. Chat to you soon.
This is Madiba's Take.
Really great discussion, you know, around the state of electric vehicles in South Africa. And I do think this is something that we need to continue keeping an eye on. But one of the things that I'm keen to explore further in the future, because it somehow feels as if, at least in the mainstream, that it's a foregone conclusion that electric is going to be the way of life in the future, that it is what's going to power transport in the future. Yet, in that conversation with Shadab, we heard about things like hydrogen, right? There are all of these alternative fuels, and at the same time, there are efforts from traditional car makers to clean up existing fuel, right, so that it burns more efficiently, so that all the existing fuel combustion engines that are there can still keep running into the foreseeable future, right? So it would be great to explore that a little bit more, and to see what the energy slash fuel mix is going to be in future, because like I said, it feels as if we've just accepted that it will all be electric, yet we could actually find ourselves in a situation where it's a combination of electric, of hydrogen, of some of the traditional diesel and petrol that's there, but just burning, you know, at a cleaner rate. And of course, what Shadab said about the carbon footprints and reducing the impact on the environment, all of those different pressures are likely going to lead us to finding those solutions, because at the end of the day, electric vehicles do still suffer because producing electricity in a lot of parts of the world still has to do with burning fossil fuels in the form of coal, right? For coal-fired power stations. That's the situation that we have in South Africa, for example. So if you take away, let's say, your diesel and your petrol, and you completely exchange that out, swap it out for electric vehicles, then it means that you're pulling more of that electricity resource, which means you now need more coal, at least within the context of South Africa. So all of those different things feel like they are feeding into the economic case for electric vehicles as a whole. So the broader energy discussion just needs to be had, and we'll be exploring it going further into the future. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.